This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Now it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's I'll Run Your Herd Away by Ruby Johnson. Along one of my favorite sort of obscure one-off stack singles. The late Ruby Johnson, born on this day in 1936.
So I was invited to a Taylor Swift release party. This has never happened to me before, but I was. And then I got it wrong because I thought something was dropping tonight, but it turns out it dropped last night at midnight. But there is a music video at 7 tonight, which, of course, I'll be there agog as it drops at the release party. When will you listen to this album?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe next week. Like, I'm not like, you know, there's like 20 albums from this year. I on my list of things to get to. Like, the Taylor Swift is not like an event that's to me greater than like, you know, I need to listen to the Vampire Weekend record or I need to listen to the spend more time with the new Waxahachie record or whatever. Like, I'm interested in Taylor Swift, but her magnitude of celebrity does not make me more interested in her than I am just as a musician.
At least you drive back and forth to Minnesota, so you've got plenty of time to listen to plenty of albums as you make your way back and forth. All right, we got games tonight. Bulls Heat. I know you'll be glad to know the Heat are favored by 1.5, Chris, in your GISO. So take that into account as you wager. And the Kings, Pelicans, Kings favored by 1.5, and it appears we have no Jimmy Butler and no Zion Williamson. What do you make of these two matchups?
I tend to favor the Bulls and the Kings slightly, which I guess are those both the road teams. They're both the road teams. Yep. I tend to favor them slightly, but only slightly, but given the travel and the road thing. There's a fire truck driving past me if you hear sirens here. And I don't know. It seems like a pretty low stakes. I feel like the interesting stuff in the play-in happened the first games, and now these teams are just going to be fodder anyway.
Right. That is certainly a way it seems, and the injuries certainly make it tricky. Pelicans are at home, but they've lost 6 straight at home. Kings.
Hey, they got a long way to go to match the Grizzlies' like home
that
situation
is true.
This year.
It is interesting that, like, the Kings only they're perceived to have had a bad year. They're in the play-in. They only lost 2 fewer games than they did. They won 2 fewer games than last year, and Golden State won more games than last year. It's just partly a measure of how tough the West has been.
Yeah, I don't perceive that the Kings had a bad year. No. I think they played to what they are. I think last year was fluky that they ended up the third seed. I sort of expected them to be a play-in range team this season, and that's what they've been. So if people think they had a bad season, I'm not among those people.
But not a bad season. A lesser season than last year's magical season. But all right. Moving on to the series that are going to unfold tomorrow. Start with Orlando and Cleveland.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because Cleveland's in a really volatile situation. It feels like things are going to crack up there a little bit unless they have some kind of run. And even if they have a run, maybe Donovan Mitchell may just want out anyway.
Right.
So I think this is a real testing ground for that team to make decisions. And the Mitchell decision may be made for them by Donovan Mitchell. But one of the things they have to look at is, does their front court work together in playoff basketball? And then you get a second shot at it with, you know, the two bigs and Mobley and Allen. So I think that's an interesting team. And then Orlando is sort of like, okay, we've arrived as a playoff team. What's next? And no one thinks they're making a deep run this season, but they're going to, whatever happens, is going to help them evaluate, like, where they go, you know, going into the summer. Do they feel like they really have to go hard to try to add more shooting and more perimeter offense, which seems to be the real problem on that team?
Phoenix at Minnesota.
A lot of people are picking Phoenix in the series, and I'm sort of one of them. I'm surprised how full the bandwagons are getting these upset picks. You know, Phoenix has Kevin Durant, who's done this before.
Right.
That's a team that feels like the team they're taking into the playoffs is better than the average of the regular season, which is, you know, what a regular season record is. It's a composite over 82 games. It feels like the team that they're going in with is better than that. Minnesota's had the best defense in the league, but a lot of that is about rim protection, and like Kevin Durant likes to shoot pull-up jump shots.
Right.
So I think a lot of people looking at that and saying matchup-wise, they kind of like Phoenix. I kind of do too, but like, you know, Kevin Durant get hurt in game one, and then who knows?
Is this for Minnesota, you know, for Anthony Edwards from Minnesota, like, is this with you a particularly important series? Like, if not this year, when? Right? I mean, given the financial...
No, Minnesota team, it's sort of like Cleveland in the sense that if things don't go the way they want, it's not like they're going to blow up the whole thing and start from scratch. Like Cleveland, I think worst case scenario with them is they sort of break it up and they rebuild around Darius Garland and Evan Mobley. I think with Minnesota, it's sort of, you may... Anthony Edwards isn't going anywhere, but do you need to... Can you tweak the team you have, or do you need to break up and restructure more and more fundamentally around Anthony Edwards? And I think how well they do in the playoffs is part of that, but also the financial considerations and how the ownership stuff plays out. So there are a lot of balls in the air with them.
Sixers in New York.
Again, I like the Sixers, but the Knicks have been playing really well, well-coached, like hard-nosed team. They're banged up, but I don't know how the Julius Randle being out actually hurts them that much in terms of winning games in the playoffs. And we'll see, but I feel good. I think that Philadelphia team with Embiid, if he holds up, I think is much better than their seeding. So I like Philly a little bit in that one, but no outcome would surprise me.
And do you expect, LeBron says, too much emphasis being placed on the past. They've lost eight straight now to Denver. We expecting another sweep? It's hard to expect a sweep.
Well, even when they swept them in the conference finals last year, the game was close.
Games, yeah.
So it wouldn't have been surprising for the Lakers to take a game. So I'm not expecting a sweep. I am expecting Denver to win that series. You know, I mean, Denver's the defending champs. Denver's been better in the regular season. Denver now has the best player. Although LeBron James, you know, in playoff basketball is now, if he's the 10th best player in the regular season, he's maybe the 5th best player in the playoffs. But I think Jokic is number one by both counts.
Sunday we got the two play-in teams will be playing. Either the Bulls or Heat will play Boston, and either the Kings or the Pelicans will play Oklahoma City. I'll skip those for now. Indiana, Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee's a team that's a little rattled. Giannis is going to be hurt to start the series. There's a lot of age around the edges. The Lillard thing, I think the playoffs are the proving ground for that. You know, the coaching change. There's just a lot of stuff there. And it's all gravy for Indiana. To me, there's no big deal to lose the series if you're Indiana. And if you win it, it is kind of a big deal. So that's a team that's got nothing to lose. And I think it could get dicey for Milwaukee. I do have Milwaukee winning the series.
And then Dallas and the Clippers.
Yeah, I just think Dallas has been the better team. So I think the team they're taking into the playoffs is better. And they have left fewer health questions with Kawhi Leonard's situation with the Clippers. That's kind of a toss-up series, but I kind of favor the Mavs there. I mean, Luka took a worse team to the conference finals a couple of years ago, and I think he's got a little bit better team around him now.
And then, of course, the Clippers have this issue with Kawhi. Unclear if he will play. I guess the news was at this point that he got an injection in his knee in early April. He's missed the last eight games, in which the team is 4-4. He did play 68 games this year, averaging 34.3 minutes a game. But one of the things that's at stake here is the future of Paul George, who can walk after this year, right? And I don't know. Do you I don't know what we expect of Kawhi. There's been scuttlebutt that Paul George might be a good fit in Philadelphia. What do you make of that situation?
Yeah, I mean, Paul George is a Southern California native, and he wanted to get back out there.
Right.
My guess is that he would rather stay there. They have not extended him. I think if they had offered him, like, the max, then he probably would have already signed it. And so I think there's a money question there. And if the Clippers aren't willing to budge, I do think Philadelphia is you know, emerges as the landing spot. They're actually going to have cap space. You know, they've held off on the Tyrese Maxey thing because of his low cap hold. And so I'd be surprised to see Paul George anywhere but one of those two places. But I think that could be a definite storyline of the summer in terms of, like, the competition for Paul George among those two teams.
Talking to Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. And then finally, Sam Vecenie has a new top 10 out, or whatever, a new draft order out, not just top 10. And it's interesting. I don't know where his tiers are, but he's got no tier one or tier two players in this draft. And he said, this is sort of fascinating. This is all things we've discussed before, but all 10 of his first 10 players have a non-zero chance of going number one, which is kind of amazing, right? It doesn't speak to how good the 10 are. It speaks to how there just is not anything close to a consensus best player.
Yeah, it was a lot of B-plus prospects, you know? I mean, that's sort of this draft, is that a lot of guys who are kind of interesting and might be pretty good, but you're not sure about, and that's, you know, that's like 10 guys. I don't know if it goes 10 deep. The thing is, all we know is the mocks, right?
Right.
And, like, I think Sam Vecenie's really good at this. I think Jonathan Givony's really good. Like, your top-line guys are really good, and they end up being close to right by the time they get there.
Right, right.
But there's a lot of change. Like, none of them had Donovan Clingan as a top five pick like a month ago.
Right.
And how much of that is the circumstances changing? And how much of that is, like, suddenly they start to learn more what teams actually think? You know?
Yeah.
And are you wrong in the past about what you think teams think?
Yes. There's no question. One of the phenomena you see in drafts, whether it's the NFL, NBA, anywhere, is you hear, well, they're moving up the boards. They may not be moving up at all. They may just have always been higher, more well thought of than you knew, right?
And reporters are just now finding out.
Exactly. Right. You're catching up. But what's interesting is, so in this one, he has Robert Dillingham as 10. And I do think, like, he's a guy who you see going 2 in a lot of mocks. So
right.
That's sort of how wild it is.
Well, you have some players. Some players are, like, sort of fit in anywhere because of the kind of player you are. Dillingham is not that kind of player.
Right.
And Donovan Clingan is also not that kind of player.
Right.
And so those are very, even if you think best player available in a top 10 of a draft, if it's that muddled, fit is really going to matter for those two players in particular, I think.
The Grizzlies are not going to take Robert Dillingham.
I don't think so. I mean, I have no idea. Maybe
right.
Zach Lyman thinks he's the next Allen Iverson or something.
Right.
But to me, the fit thing is really problematic with him.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's interesting. So he's got Alexander Sarr at 1. He's got Nikola Topic. I don't know if it's spelled Topic or Topic or whatever, at 2.
It's usually a chich sound at the end of
those. Topic. There you go. Stephon Castle at 3, which I'd like. I don't think he's going to be there when the Grizzlies pick. Reed Shepard, who announced yesterday that he is going to enter the draft at 4. Donovan Clingan at 5. I could have imagined either Reed Shepard or Donovan Clingan. I still can imagine Reed Shepard or Donovan Clingan being Grizzlies picks. But what's interesting then is if that is, of course, that's not going to how it fall. But if that's how it were to fall or something like that, what you have is the next batch of players, Ron Holland, Risa Shea, Cody Williams, however you pronounce Midas Bozilis' name, they're all wings, right, of one
right.
shape or another. Like, and Dalton connects in that next group too, along with Robert Dillingham. It's interesting. If the Grizzlies were to take one of that, again, they can trade down, they can trade up. Who the hell knows what they're going to do? But if that's the type of player who's available, you could imagine the Grizzlies taking him because if you said before, you can always use more wings,
right?
But you can also imagine them having basically no role on the team next year,
well,
can't you?
I brought this up on the podcast I did this week. I had Matt Ehrlich on, where to me, and it's hard for me because all the big wings that are in the top 10 either did not play college basketball or barely played,
yeah,
Cody Williams.
It's true.
So I don't have as much of a feel for them yet. But for the Grizzlies, there's still a quality issue on the wing. Like, you know, we think Gigi Jackson's going to be some kind of star or whatever, but, like, there's no, like, the three best players on the team are guards and a big. And so there's a quality question on the wing. But there's not a quantity question. They got plenty of guys. And so do you want just another young wing project? And that's all you have. That's all you've been having lately is sorting through young wing projects. And so I need to feel really good about adding another young wing project to Gigi Jackson and Vince Williams and Jake LaRavia and Zaire Williams when he's back and all this. It's just such a muddle that I'd have to feel pretty strong about that player. Otherwise, I'm more interested in the combo guards and the bigs, I think.
Well, and that brings me to another guy who I think we haven't really mentioned, but I think we should take seriously, and that's Jared McCain from Duke.
If the Grizzlies trade down, like which I think could happen if they don't jump up to the top four, if they trade down and still have another pick in the middle of the draft, that's absolutely a guy. Because the two things they need are size and shooting. And so when you talk about Klingon and Reed Shepard, that sort of addresses those two things. But McCain or McLean, whatever, he really addresses the shooting question.
He's a terrific shooter. He's a Duke guy, like whatever. Right. I think that's overstated with Zach Kleiman, but still. His last 20 games, he averaged 16 points a game. He shot 41% from three, 90% from the line. James Madison hit eight threes. You know, he's a little undersized. But I can totally imagine him being the guy who Vecini has him at 13. So if you end up sliding down to 8, it's not even unreasonable to pick him at 8, you know?
Yeah, him at 13. I think he has Filipowski at 12. Sam Vecini, like me, is a little bit higher on Filipowski than a lot of people seem to be. But to me, those are both, like, if the Grizzlies traded down a little bit, I could see, like, those guys making sense.
Yeah, actually, you're right. He had McCain at 12. And Filipowski at 13, okay. and then he had Zach Edey at 21, so I don't know. I'm interested in this stuff. I think you're right. It's hard to know. Like, I don't have any conviction about whether Ron Holland versus Risa Shea versus Cody Williams versus
Pozelis.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to try to develop a conviction between now and June 20, whatever, but right. I don't have it right now.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Are you going to rush out and listen to Taylor Swift?
You know, I was just listening to it here in the studios.
Really?
Yeah, because you know we found out that it has because Charles Fishman is plugged into this.
Oh, this is
the song Fortnite featuring Post Malone.
Let's listen for a moment.
I was a functioning alcoholic till nobody noticed my new aesthetic.
Wow, it's rather deep.
All of this to say, I hope you're okay, but you're the reason. No one here's to blame, but what about your quiet treason?
Ooh.
And for a fortnight there, we were forever running to you. Sometimes ask about whoever, now you're in my backyard. Turn into good neighbors, your wife waters flowers, I wanna kill her.
Well, whoa. This is definitely tortured poets material.
Where's Post Malone popping in here?
Where he's coming in.
Where is he?
We're about a minute in. We have no Post yet.
We have no Post.
Let's see if we get to the hook here. It's a little light on the Malone part of here.
This NBA playoffs, FanDuel's giving all customers two chances to bring home a big win with a no-sweat same-game parlay every weekend. All you got to do is place the same-game parlay on any playoff matchup over at FanDuel. Get bonus bets back if you don't win. So if you win, you win. If you lose, you get bonus bets back. That's the two chances to bring home a big win. Bet on everything from rebounds, assists, three-pointers, and more. Over at FanDuel, FanDuel.com/Calkins. This is for existing users and new users. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. C-A-L-K-I-N-S. FanDuel is, of course, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. Minimum 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund, $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Looking for a new bank, new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union is who I would recommend. Claire's going to sign it up for Leaders Credit Union.
Hey.
Leaders Credit Union. She's moving here, needs a new financial institution.
Yeah.
And why pick one that's trying to make money off you? Pick one that exists only for the benefit of its members. That's what a credit union does. It's all the money they generate goes back into better service, better rates, better technology. It is, whether you're looking for a car loan or a mortgage or a checking account, whatever it is, Leaders is there for you. To learn more, go to leaderscu.com. That's Leaders and then the letter CU. leaderscu.com/ESPN. Brad is now treating us to more Taylor Swift.
I have the whole album in front of me on YouTube. This is one of the rare artists that posts the entire Tortured Poets department. The whole album is right here on YouTube. It's right there.
There
amazing.
You go.
It's actually a delightful sounding thing. Now that first cut we just played with Malone,
I was interested in it.
Ooh, Fortnite, it's deep. Yeah, she's going
she
on about.
She says I was a functioning alcoholic.
She says that in the thing. I'm assuming that
it's
is
true.
A personal.
That's personal. A revelation.
Would say so. Good for her. I mean, that's good. Very cathartic, I'm sure. Putting that.
And one
out
of
there.
The things that people have asked is, in the Tortured Poets department is the name of the album.
Yep.
Right. Should there be an apostrophe? And so here you go. Ready? So here you go.
Yep.
If it's one tortured poet and it's their department, it should be Tortured Poet _S.
Yep.
Department.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
If it's multiple Tortured Poets department, like it's
co-written with several people,
a department that belongs to multiple Tortured Poets, then it should be Tortured Poets _.
Hey.
Right?
Yes.
But if it's just the name of the department, like the toy department or whatever else, then it doesn't need an apostrophe.
Yeah,
see what
it
I'm
just
saying?
Is.
The Tortured Poets department.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not like it's not a possessive. It's not the whatever.
But with creative license, though, I'm looking at the album cover with Taylor laying down.
There is no.
It would look odd if there was any apostrophe in that font the way she's laid out the album cover.
Well, it's obviously her album. And here's the thing. They're all correct. They just mean different things.
Right.
Tortured Poet _S means different than Tortured Poet _,
yep.
Which means different than Tortured Poets _.
Wow.
How's that for a little grammar lesson?
That's really good.
But here's the thing. Today, on this
Thank
Friday.
You.
I apologize,
no, this is good.
I guess,
sometimes write around this.
I guess I'm a nerd.
No. No.
Yeah.
No. We're helping the people.
So, a lot of things dropped today.
Yes.
Taylor Swift dropped today.
Yep.
And the news about FedEx. $5 million
well
over
played,
5 years.
Yeah. It's as if it were...
Is it planned that way?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean? I think it's as if it were planned that way.
And are you seriously going to a party for this silly album tonight? I shouldn't call
it's
it silly.
Not
it's
not silly.
It's a fine album.
Listen, if I were invited to a FedEx NIL party, yeah. I'd go to that too.
Sure.
I don't get invited to many parties.
Yeah.
And
well.
So I certainly have never been invited to a Taylor Swift release party.
No.
And I'm not sure what to wear.
I think you just want to look hip. Like, you
well,
can wear a call.
Okay, what else? Give me something. I will definitely wear something from... But I think maybe you're supposed to look moody, emo, like you're a tortured
right.
poet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I follow.
You're supposed to look... How does she look? What does she look like?
Well, she looks seductive when she dresses
because
she's a fine-looking
I'll try to look
young,
seductive then.
Cawkins should look seductive tonight
try
for the Taylor Swift party.
Does she look tortured and seductive?
She
moody
looks
and
like,
seductive?
Yeah, but she always looks moody to me. But mostly happy when you see her at those football games now.
She looks happy in red.
Yes. And lots of lipstick and midriffs.
So that's what I'll do. I'll show my midriff. So
I'm sure that's what the people invited you for.
That's what the people want.
Hey, you've been doing yoga. You're probably good doing that. You're fine.
Yeah, more
You're
Pilates than yoga.
I saw you win a 5K, for God's sake.
Anyway, Also, the new drop today was the news, and if, for those of you who have missed it, the news that FedEx is pledging $5 million over 5 years in NIL to the University of Memphis. It is transformative. It is the biggest corporate commitment that has been revealed to a university in terms of NIL money. And it has the multiple advantages that we've discussed. One is that it's not, you know, it's not one guy saying, I'm going to help for this 1 year.
Right.
It's over a 5 year period. And so it's not contingent on how well Javon Quinterly played. Did it feel like it was worth it? I'm not paying any more money. That was a disaster.
Right.
You know, like whatever. It's so that's one thing. And secondly, it's just an amount of money over a certain year. It's going to help Memphis be competitive. It's supposed to go to Memphis football, Memphis basketball, Memphis women's basketball, and assorted other women's sports. So you will see it show up in W's and L's. In addition to all that, though, and this, it is more consistent with what NIL was imagined to be. FedEx is a publicly traded company with stockholders. You're not allowed to just throw money at things that don't help the company. And so you can be damn sure that they're not just saying, hey, stop by the office once a week and we'll give you your check and that'll be your service. They are going to leverage those players and use those players in their marketing campaigns. You can already see the video that they produced is spectacular.
Yep.
And that will not just be NIL the way it was designed. That will also raise the profile of those athletes and of the University of Memphis. As I said earlier, when the NBA expanded to Memphis, it was known that David Stern wanted his league to be associated with FedEx. That was one of the reasons that Memphis was selected. That's what the brand means. The NBA wants to be connected to FedEx.
Right.
Professional golf wants to be protected, wants to be connected to FedEx. You can be damn sure that for a individual university like the University of Memphis to be connected with FedEx does great things for that university in elevating its brand. And let's be honest, if we're being honest with ourselves, in addition to other reasons that Memphis has not made it over the divide into the power club, one reason is the brand can sometimes look a little rough around the edges.
That's fair.
Right.
That's right.
And so I'm not saying this is the final piece that's going to get it done at all. What I am saying is that it's going to translate to W's and L's. It's going to help the brand. And it is an incredible stabilizing and motivational force going forward. It also, because it's a challenge gift, it's $5 million, but it's a 50% challenge gift. So they've got to raise another $2.5 million to unlock it. So it doesn't mean that any of y'all who are involved in giving NIL money to the University of Memphis should now sit back and say, "Yeah, FedEx did it."
Right.
It's
like the stadium deal in essence.
Yeah, it's all that
regard.
Much more reason to be motivated to contribute and see where this goes. I now, because of this, have that much more optimism about the future of Memphis athletics. And as Richard Smith texted me this morning, it's all part and parcel of trying to have good things happening in Memphis. You know, they're going to have the FedEx Forum. They're going to have their new football. You might as well have a competitive team in there.
Right.
And so that was the big news today that dropped. And you can hear our interview with Laird Veach that we did, and earlier we have tweeted that out. There was other portal news. Dion.
Oops.
Keep playing that.
I've got Dion's
that.
Clip. I didn't mean to put her down.
Dion Sanders.
There's a
bunch of Colorado players have transferred, and so Dion was indignant when people asked him about this.
He's wearing overalls in this clip. Interesting.
He's wearing overalls and a hoodie.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Here we are. Come on, Dion. It's
normally easy to get Dion to talk. There we are.
Usually. It's circling the wagons and buffering. I don't know
it
why.
It is buffering. It is.
Stupid.
It's funny because it's the Buffaloes, oddly.
That's go Buffs.
It's go
Why are
Buffs.
You so
anyway,
lame?
He said, who we losing?
I promise it'll
he
get
said,
a go at
who
some
we
point.
Losing? Who we losing? Who we losing? Who we losing?
Mm-hmm.
Do some research. Who are we losing? He essentially basically said that the players that we're losing are trash.
You're losing some guys to the portal. What are you looking forward to reestablish? What position groups are you hunting in the transfer portal?
I wish you guys do a little more homework when you start talking about the portal. And understand what we losing. What are we losing? I got time today. What are we losing?
Potential starters? And
potential.
Depth?
Where?
Tight end, running back.
You haven't been watching practice, huh? Amen. We good. We're good. I trust the recruiting team. I trust our coaches. And please have some faith in me. We're good. We all right. We all right. What happens with the portal, man, and you guys need to know, a lot of people are fighting for backups. When a guy's a starter and he transfers, you got to really think about that. I mean, is he really that? I don't know how many starters have really transferred around the country. I think we got some coming in from visits pretty soon, maybe even this weekend. But we can attract those type of players, but I don't think we're losing those type of players. And if we do, we're good. We're good. Quit making a big deal out of nothing.
So, Coach Adam,
God, I want to say so much stuff, but I can't. God, I want to say so much stuff. I keep remembering my head coach. Let's go.
How about that? Is that something?
It is. It is something. What? So what is?
Well, I mean,
I don't mean to be stupid, but what
well,
is what
does
he
saying?
Want? What does he want to say?
What does
he want to say?
What he wants to say is they're trash. He's what he wants to say. But
these dudes that were losing.
And in fairness, like spring practice is wrapped up, right? And so. Yeah. I do believe this is true, that this is true at any program. The players who tend to transfer after spring practice are players who are...
They ain't playing.
Who see where they are falling on the depth chart, and they say, I'll go try something somewhere else. So I don't right. actually doubt. It's just most people don't say out loud. It's a little bit like Penny. Penny says out loud what a lot of coaches don't.
It's what we kind of like
and,
about him
and
sometimes.
Yeah, one of the things that we like about him. And Dion was sort of saying out loud... What a lot don't. Now, Dallin Hayden.
As I was
from
just
Ohio
thinking
State.
About him, yes.
Yeah. So he actually is taking a visit to Colorado this weekend, evidently.
Of course.
Or whatever.
Is.
He's taking a visit to Colorado, running back from Ohio State. Hopefully, there he will get a better chance.
He's a Colorado starting level player. I mean, that's.
Yeah,
fair.
He's visiting, evidently. He's visiting Colorado and he's visiting UCLA among possible. Other players. So there was that bit of news. Other news from around the world of sports that we haven't been able to touch on because of the all this that's been going on, particularly with FedEx and the University of Memphis. Kenny Payne is going back to
that.
Join Cal at Arkansas. And so that's great. Kendrick Davis, G League All-Rookie Team. That was good. Averaged 18 points, 7.8 assists, 14.3 rebounds. A game. Speaking of NIL, Virginia has passed a law that says that schools can now directly contact. You know how at Memphis and almost everywhere, it's through these collectives, right?
Mm-hmm.
At Virginia, they've passed a law. In every state, this is why the NCAA wants national legislation.
Yeah.
They've passed a law saying that it can be done directly. I've actually never, does anyone under the illusion that the universities and the coaches don't have a lot of say in how this money is spent? And so this idea that they were ever removed from the process seemed fake to me to begin with. So I don't know. That seems to make sense to me that they should be able
I
to
bet it's all over the map, though, in certain programs it's different than others. I assume at Memphis, Penny's heavy-handed with it, but
I mean,
that's an assumption.
I assume that every coach says, this is a player we need. This
Pay
is a
him
player.
All
this
of
is
it.
What it, or this is a player we don't need. This is a player. Yeah. Got to give him more money. Got to like
this is a mid-level
it's
guy.
Just, it's good for Virginia. Good for
yeah,
Virginia.
That sounds right.
For taking out the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of NFL stories I wanted to get to before we wind up here. One is, did you see the story on Bill Belichick earlier this week?
No, I did not, actually. I've been...
It was really interesting. It was an ESPN story on Bill Belichick and why he didn't get the Atlanta job.
I've heard a little bit about it, and basically they didn't want it.
They did this deal. Yeah, in the end, they didn't want
it. And Arthur Blank said, threw him under the bus?
Bob Kraft threw him under the bus.
Talking to Blank and some of the other owners.
So after they had interviewed him twice, they had Arthur Blank and then the lead executives for Atlanta all, and this is a good detail. This is a well-reported detail from ESPN.
All right.
They all wrote down their top three choices, right?
Okay.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
So there's whatever. I don't know how many executives there are. Five executives writing down their top three choices. Bill Belichick was not on any of the top three.
Whoa.
How about that?
No, I didn't hear that story.
That's a nice little deal, isn't it?
That is juicy.
And the reason is...
and alarming for him.
Is that he thought, according to the stories, he thought he had the job. Right?
Of course.
He thought he had the job. And, but among other things, Bob Kraft allegedly, now he denies it.
This part I heard.
The Patriots deny it. Bob Kraft allegedly told the owner of the Falcons, Arthur Blank, that you can't trust Bill Belichick.
You can't trust him.
And that he is very, very, three Vs, very, very, very arrogant.
Oh, I believe that.
And so he totally just savaged.
Do you think that means you shouldn't hire him still, probably? Those things?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, the remaining thought about where he could end up, I think that the odds are he will not coach again in the NFL.
I think that's fair.
But there is a school of thought that he may end up coaching Dallas. If Dallas flops this year, and by all accounts, they've lost a bunch of players, they've got financial issues, they've got the Dak contract to figure out. If they flop this year, Jerry Jones, big fan of Bill Belichick, and you could imagine him at the end of this year ending up in Dallas. That is sort of that story. Okay. Secondly, we got some draft stuff on The Athletic today, some draft rumors, which I love trafficking in. One is that the Raiders really could take Michael Penix Jr. at 13. I don't think John would hate that. I won't speak for a Raiders fan.
No.
But dude has a big arm, and most people don't have Penix as a first. But I will never urge people not to throw a dart at a quarterback, because if you hit,
it changes the whole franchise.
Solves everything for 15 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Although his problem is injuries, right, is why people have been concerned about him.
Yeah, it's injuries, and it's not just injuries. It's injuries, it's mobility.
Getting around beyond throwing.
And when he had three NFL receivers to throw to. Look at his final game against Michigan when he's pressured. There are some other knocks in addition. He's older, but whatever. But yeah. Secondly, that Malik Nabers from LSU could go ahead. There are certain teams that have him ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr., which is interesting because Marvin Harrison Jr. is sort of seen as the gold-plated number one receiver. But that was an interesting development, that some teams think Malik Nabers is better. And then I saw an interesting story today on a guy named Fred Zirkle.
Oh, Fred.
Now, you've never heard Fred Zirkle.
No, of course not.
Zirkle, right?
No, I've never heard of that.
Fred Zirkle.
Who is the fella?
Well, so the Jets have the last pick in the draft this year. Okay. Mr. Irrelevant
is
the Jets. That's the Jets.
And this has paid off for the San Francisco 49ers.
Brock Purdy is obviously the most successful Mr. Irrelevant ever.
That's right.
He's a star.
Right. Last pick became a star.
Now, Mr. Irrelevant has changed because there used to be 17 rounds. And if you're the last pick in 17 rounds, as opposed to the last pick in 7 rounds, your chances of being good are considerably less. You're like, Mr. Irrelevant is not as irrelevant now that it's 7th round. And then for the longest time, the NFL was 12 rounds. And even then, 12 rounds, you're the last pick in 12 rounds.
You're never going to be relevant.
A 7th round pick, a fair number of them actually turn out to be relevant.
Yeah.
So they're still called Mr. Irrelevant, but they're not really, even before Purdy,
right,
they aren't necessarily irrelevant. But anyway, the last time the Jets had the last pick in the draft, Mr. Irrelevant, that was 1969, and they picked a guy named Fred Zirkle. That's why there was a story about Fred Zirkle. Fred Zirkle was a defensive lineman for Duke, and he said, yeah, never mind. I'm not going to do it.
I'm not going to the NFL?
He skipped the NFL altogether.
Oh.
He became CEO. He became a business person, CEO of Keytronic, which had $180 million in annual revenue. And now he is CAO of something called Indie Pro, which has done $2 billion of transactions since it began.
Oh, that paid off.
So that's pretty good. And here is his little advice. I just thought that we, you know, we're heading into the weekend. I would pass along a little bit of advice.
Is it okay?
What I learned in football was just keep moving. If you find life blocked in, swing around and go through another path. If you find life blocked in on one way,
okay,
swing around and go another path. Well, that's good. Keep moving.
Good advice.
If life is blocked in one way, swing around and go.
I'm going to listen to Zirkle on this one, being a billionaire.
That is the wisdom, the wit, the wit and wisdom of Fred Zirkle.
Excellent.
We had a big day today on the show. Big news today from the University of Memphis and FedEx. I want to thank Laird Veach for jumping on short notice and help fill us in about what everything was going on. Then we had Jason Smith and Chris Harrington. What's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Here's what's coming up next on the Jason and John Show. Anthony Sane from Bluff City Media at 11:30. They are fading Brad. I am so bad at gambling. This is why you shouldn't gamble, Jeff. They basically take my bets now on the Jason and John Show, and they encourage listeners to bet the opposite.
Beautiful.
Isn't that nice? Gino and Jeffrey have Topmeyer on. They're talking SEC USA Today guy at 2:45. Sparky Pfeiffer, who's our guy from Odyssey, will fill in for Gabe. Gabe's on a little vacation. You're going to come on at 5. I appreciate that, Jeff. And have an awesome weekend, y'all.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Back on Monday for Now Work Is Done.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.